We're on the trails in Moab, Utah, riding around in Jeeps with Cam Cushman, talking about his very first deer on public land right now. Gun Talk Hunt is brought to you by Smith & Wesson, Brownells, serious about firearms since 1939, Timney Triggers, the world's finest triggers, Springfield Armory, and Silencer Central, silence delivered.
All right, welcome in, Gun Talk Hunt fans. Now, this is a little bit different, and we're going to be really staring heavily at the front hood of this truck because we're currently going through the Moab trails in Utah. So with me today is Cam Cushman, and he's got an interesting story, and what we're going to dive into all this stuff, but he is going to focus on this road and try not to turn us upside down, but that would make great video.
It would be good video.
It would be. Cam, welcome in. Give everybody kind of a list or a kind of a view behind, like a peek behind the curtain about who you are and what you do currently.
Yeah. Yeah, so Cameron Cushman, Cam, whatever you want to call me. So a little bit about me. Husband, father of four kids, spent 6 years in the Army. I was an infantryman stationed in Alaska. And then
that's got to be tough.
Man, I loved it. But I guess this is a perfect fitting because at the time, and I even thought about it when I was there, I never got into hunting. And so
this
is my first year as a hunter. And what a mistake. Like, what an absolute imbecile.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say imbecile.
You can say a lot of stuff on this podcast.
You know, what an absolute idiot for not getting into. So I kid you not, on base, on Fort Wainwright, Alaska, you're allowed to take moose by a bow on post.
Really?
What an idiot.
That's a shame.
I know. But anyway, so yeah, 6 years Army Infantry. During that time, I was doing a lot of photography still. So before the military, I was doing kind of more fashion photography and some landscape.
Fashion.
Yeah, fashion. Did some modeling stuff down in South Florida.
Wait, you were the model?
No, I was the photographer. I didn't have the epic beard, so I wouldn't have really been
able to. Well, now you'd be great.
Now I'd be great, for sure. And so, yeah, a little bumpy.
Yeah, just a little.
But, so when I got out, so I medically retired, got out, got more into the video side of things.
Yeah.
And so my focus really was in the outdoor space. So I was doing a lot of, like, filming in, like, the fly fishing, the fishing world. And so did a super cool trip across the country and back with my buddy Marcos. We did 8,000 miles, 10 native species of trout. And that film kind of, like, set me up for all of my work in the outdoor space. And so ended up producing a TV show for the Sportsman's Channel, outdoor channel.
Okay.
Did that for a season, and then COVID hit. And so the industry at the time didn't know it was going to boom, you know, the outdoor industry. And so all the sponsors pulled out, so they nicked the next season. And so I started, like, I was on the hunt for work. Couldn't find anything because every freelance person was looking for work.
They were all in the same boat.
Exactly. And so American Outdoor Brands, somebody reached out to me on Instagram, like, hey, you want a job? And I was like, man, I'm looking for one.
Yeah.
And they were like, so we're located in Missouri. And I was like, oh, Missouri. Let me talk to my wife. And I kind of laughed. You know, I was like, who lives in Missouri? And so, sorry to all the Midwest listeners, but since then, you know, obviously I took the job.
Yeah.
And I actually started out on the adventure side. So I started out with the, you know, Bubba and UST.
Yeah.
And now, obviously, I'm with, you know, the Marksman Lane, so Wheeler, Frankfurt.
So you're doing Wheeler, Frankfurt, Arsenals, the Tipton guys.
Yep. And then Caldwell.
And Caldwell.
Yep.
Okay.
And I've also been helping out with the Marks or the Defender Lane, so Walk
Crimson
Down,
Trace.
Crimson Trace. Yeah. So we haven't had somebody, just got a guy, though. So, and also, I volunteer a bunch of time for a nonprofit that I'm the CMO of, and then another nonprofit that I just started helping out that does a lot of hunts. So.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I kind of want to focus on, but I really kind of want to share, like, we on Gun Talk Hunt, we love to introduce, like, newcomers to the sport, and we're very welcoming. Like, I think our viewers and listeners understand that I'm kind of an open book when it comes to, you're doing a great job, by the way, driving.
Hey, I'm like, trying.
This is amazing.
I'm trying. We'll get some elevation here.
Yeah,
here we go. In the stock Tacoma, mind you.
Yeah, in stock. And drive it like you rented it.
Yeah. Right? Well, we did rent it. So,
but we're very opening to the new hunters, and we welcome all, and we welcome all questions and everything. But this year, Cam, you kind of got into it.
Like
really
first year hunting.
First year hunting, and you kind of set it off right. So tell a little bit about the story, because the story, I first heard about it, and I thought you had already always hunted.
Yeah, like,
Most people think so. But I was looking through your Instagram feed, and then all of a sudden, like, it pops up on my feed that you had shot your first buck.
My first buck, yeah.
And it was with a bow.
Yeah.
And it was on public ground.
Yeah.
And it's, like, stuff that all of us are sitting there going, man, I do this all the time, and, like, I don't have that kind of luck. So walk us through that experience.
Yeah.
What brought you into it?
Yeah, so I'll back up a little bit. So let's back up to turkey season. So I was in Missouri last year, I guess, for archery, and I bought a trad bow, but I wasn't comfortable enough to go out that season, you know, like last year.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to be comfortable, and I'm still not comfortable enough with the traditional bow, because I don't want to make, you know, a shot that I'm going to regret. I don't want to wound an animal. And so
you want to be as ethical as possible.
100%. I want to be comfortable with my shot. I want to be as ethical as possible. I want to make sure that I am respecting this animal that I take, you know. And so turkey season comes around, and I was like, well, I got to try this. And everyone's like, well, come out with me. And I was like, I appreciate the offer, but I want to do it on my own.
I want to learn. See, those guys would go the opposite way. I need all the help I get. But you figured it out on your own.
Right. So I read, you know, I was reading books, and I was like reading up on turkey behavior. And
Gun Talk Hunt.
Yeah. No. And so I didn't know anything about it. And so I literally just bought a bunch of stuff that had like good reviews. I bought some calls, and I didn't know where to go in the woods. You know, like all the content that I had seen before that I had remembered was like always on the edge of a field in a blind. And I was like, but what everyone's telling me, it's like, it's not like that. They're up in the ridges. They're up in the deep timber. And I was like, well, how are you finding these things? And so we're getting a little bit, some canyons now, guys.
Yeah,
so
there's some canyons off
slow. The speed down a little bit.
Definitely got to slow down.
You know, when the seatbelt's locked,
It's getting dicey.
It's getting dicey. So I went out, and actually my first turkey hunt. So before we get people excited, I didn't harvest any turkeys last year or this year. But
they were expecting a good story.
Right. My first hunt though, I called one in to 50 yards, and some other guy had heard me calling him and snuck in on me and shot at the bird.
No.
Yeah, in public land, you know.
I mean, that's how it goes sometimes.
But shot at the bird and missed. And the bird bolted off. But I think that probably would have been for the worse if I would have gotten my first day, because it would have been unrealistic, you know? And so I went back out thinking it would be easy, and it just was harder and harder and harder. And my very last day of season, I had one. It was guaranteed. I was called. He didn't meet up with a group.
Yeah.
Didn't join up with a bunch of hens. And
He's that lone gobbler.
He was a lone gobbler. And so I heard he was responding to my calls probably at 170, 180 yards, if not more. And so I started pushing closer. Yeah. He would push closer. I would push closer. And I was in the perfect spot, right? And I heard him gobble, and I was like, I can get closer. And that's where I made a mistake.
Dang.
I got closer.
You done messed up.
But when I moved, he moved. But we were in this little, like, draw.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I didn't realize, though, is when I moved forward, he crossed. And so I called, and I heard a gobble come from my left. And I looked, and because I wasn't expecting something there, I looked over really quickly, and he saw me move, and he, you know, did the
he
whole,
was like,
the head up. Yep, exactly. And then bolted through the trees.
Gone.
But I mean, such a learning experience. So from that point, I was like, okay, archery is up next.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I think I'm gonna stick with the trad. And I just was like, you know what? Let me get a compound.
Yeah.
And so I ordered my first compound, and then I kind of learned on that. I was shooting too much, actually. I didn't.
Did you get tendonitis in your elbow?
Dude, my elbow was smoked.
Yeah.
And so I was shooting like 70 arrows a day.
No kid.
Yeah, and because I thought,
that's
I didn't know what was normal.
Gosh.
I didn't know what was normal.
Okay,
so
everybody listening and watching this, please don't do that. Because that's not good.
No, my shoulder and my elbow was
toast.
Yeah, and so I actually had to take like a month off of shooting.
Really?
Because I would try every few days, and I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And now it's going to get more dangerous because we got the sun in our face.
Yeah.
So
we're about to get blinded.
Yeah, so we do have that going on.
We're going to get
washed out
here.
So I'm going to put the shades on. I ended up picking up talked to the guys at Bear, and I just loved what they were doing, and so they sent me their new Refine. So Alec, appreciate that, and yeah, we're definitely blind spot right now.
Yeah, I can't see anything.
Yeah, so if the road just drops, it'll be fun. Good for video.
Yeah.
The airbags will deploy and everything.
We'll wake up. We'll have bloody noses.
For sure. It'll be good, though. Good for the show. But so, yeah, I got that. Got it sighted in. Super comfortable. It was an upgrade for sure from what I was shooting.
Well, especially when you're going from trad to kind of a, more of a beginner's bow.
Yeah, no doubt.
Stepping into a bow like Bear. And that's one thing that I think a lot of guys are align themselves with a particular brand of bow, and that's fine.
Yep.
But I think what a lot of people don't understand is it doesn't matter who you pick, like whether it's a Bear, an Elite, or a Matthews, or a Hoyt, or a Mission, or whatever it is. Which Mission is just a sub of
Matthews. Yeah.
Or an Elite. I mean, they're all good bows, yeah. And they're all making great products. It's just how
exactly
it is. Just who you align yourself with.
I do think that as like somebody who is just coming into it, I think that is a problem with the industry. Is people get so hyped about their brand, they're solely focused that they'll slam every bow, and so everyone in my office shoots a Matthews, like the brand new model.
Well,
and stuff like that.
I shoot a Matthews,
there's nothing wrong with it. They make amazing bows. That was a nice little pothole.
Oh yeah,
they make amazing bows. There's no question there. But every other company also can make an amazing bow.
Exactly.
And I think a big part is we should be encouraging people to get into the sport,
whatever,
no matter what they need to be. So if you're buying, you know, the Bear species or whatever, you know, like a ready to hunt package, that's $420.
Awesome.
We shouldn't be discouraging
that's
people
awesome.
To get into that. You can, I mean, guys are killing it with longbows, with self bows.
Yeah.
So, you know, anything that if you're shooting with a modern day compound, you know, it's going to be a good bow.
Oh yeah.
And so that, I think that may have been a reason it took me so long to get into it, is everyone's like, you got to have the best. But I was like, I can't afford to go all in.
$1,000 bow. Know? Then you're like, you got to shoot the best arrows.
Right, so, right.
Okay, now I'm paying $175, $200 for a dozen of like Bear arrows.
No, for sure. Yeah. And so, so finally get into it, you know, and, I travel a good bit for work, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And so season opener in Missouri for archery is the 15th of September. And so I was at the RAD event and then went to Rhode Island to do a build a range series with Caldwell. And so I get back on the 22nd and the 23rd, I'm in the woods.
Thank goodness. Mind
you, I'm all on the ground for my first full, like, I'm in the ground until 2 days before I took my first deer. And so,
I mean, that's in ground hunting, man.
It is tough.
It's tough, and it's
but
a rush.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like I learned, and I think I learned so much more because I think, you know, when you're in the tree, you're stuck in the tree. It's so much effort to get up and stuff like that, especially on public. You know, you're hanging hunting every time. You know, you're not leaving up stuff a lot of the times.
Yeah.
So on the ground, I had the ability to constantly move, and sure, I blew hundreds of does out. You know. But I was able to learn their behavior and like see how they acted. I was seeing scrapes and
you're ground level, man. You're
for sure.
You're right on level. And I think, you know, you learned a valuable lesson, obviously, by doing that, because there's multiple ways to hunt. Like there's not just, okay, this is the one way you've got to hunt. Because sometimes aggressive tactics are needed.
Yeah. No, for sure. And so I finally buy a tree stand, and everyone's like telling me, like, oh, you know,
what'd you get?
So I got the Novix Hilo. So it's Lone Wolf's brand. Most people think it's like a copy of Lone Wolf, but it's Lone Wolf's direct to consumer.
Yeah.
You know? And so gives it to you at a little bit better of a price, and they normally always have some type of discount going. So I got the military discount, which I normally don't. I hate taking advantage of those things, but like sometimes I'm like, all right, if it's saving me like $100, I'm going to do it.
You're
going
to do it. Yeah.
And so, but they normally always have a discount, you know, at some point, like for something or other, you know, like 30% off. So I ordered that. It's like a 7 pounds or something. Ordered some sticks, and I went out. And my
Did you get the Lone Wolf sticks?
No, so I got their sticks, which I think are probably the same. Just
They're about the same.
And so my first day in the tree, actually, so I'll be honest, everyone was like, you should go practice before you go for a hunt. And I just didn't have the time. And I was like, well, why do I want to practice when I could go hunt? And so my first time up, I go in and it's like, I don't know if you remember that rainstorm that basically the entire United States had like a week ago, or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
a week ago. And so It's that. And so it's pouring out. And so I'm trying to do this. And I've got this weird fear of heights. I'll go sit on the edge of that canyon right there with no problem. But if you tell me to like jump off a rock into a lake, I'm like, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Or climb a tree. For some reason, it's terrifying to me. And so.
Are you serious? So you're setting up the tree stand.
So yeah. And it's the dark. And so, but I kid you not, it took me so long. It was daylight by the time I got up in that thing. So I kid, and mind you, I'm messing this all up like, because I'm learning. You know, it's a learning experience. And so I tie like how I did it. Now I've got it down. Yeah. Even though it just took me like 2 days to get it down, you know? And so, but the transitional process to go from like, once I got the sticks up to the stand is so terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
I was, and mind you, I got the harness. I'm buckled in everywhere.
I was gonna ask.
Yes. No, I'm not messing with that. Yeah. I've got the lineman going up and I, you know, I've got the tether
the
up top.
The lifeline.
For sure. And so the transition though, I just have this feeling that the stand's just going to drop.
Yeah.
And even though I know I'm like secured, and so, you know, your sticks are on this side. I got the stand over here. And so I'm like going over. I kid you not, as I'm going over, I hear this massive splash behind me. And so I'm sitting on the edge of a creek, aligned on some deer trails. And I look over to my right, and there's this spike right under me. And I'm literally, I kid you not, I'm half between the two. I'm leaning on this stand. And this spike is just, it doesn't see me. No.
Oh, really?
Never picks me up. So I'm playing the wind, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And that's one thing I've learned, like, off the ground, was you really have to play the wind.
And wind is everything in hunting.
If for
you're listening to this, watching this, wind is
everything.
Everything.
And so, you know, you can't shoot spikes over a certain height in Missouri.
Right.
And so...
he was probably inches under.
Yeah. And so I really want to, you know, also point out, like, for me, my goal never was a buck. And so, like, my goal from the start was to provide for my family.
Right.
Like, that is what
meat.
And I wanted to shoot a doe, like, to start, because I was like, I know if I get a buck in front of me, I'm going to be freaking out, you know?
Yeah.
And so, nothing else walks out in front of me that day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's blowing 25 miles an hour, and just, miserable, you know, pouring rain.
Yeah.
And it's 40 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I go in at lunch, and I plan on doing an all-day sit. And so, it's like 3 o'clock, and I was like, I should be in the woods.
Yeah.
I'm making a mistake. And so, but I didn't see anything besides that spike. I was like, let me just go on the ground and I'll scout some more. And so I walk about another mile and a half in on public, and I find this spot that I'm like, this is it. This is the tree.
Yeah.
What you were talking about. The tree. This is the place I know is the place on the property that you could take an animal every year. And so I sat right under, like right under it. And I kid you not, 5 minutes later, I watched this buck walk in field that's, so that field is still on public, right? And so I watch him walk into the timber, and I was like, okay, he doesn't see me. I've got the wind to my advantage. And
perfect.
So I tried to push close. I was like, I'm gonna try to take him from the ground. And so he's a legal buck, and which in Missouri, you just have to have the 4 points on one side, you know? And so I get to about 60 yards of him, and I couldn't push forward without him seeing me. There's just no way. And so I let him walk off, but I was like, I know this is the spot. And so I mark the tree. I was like, this is the tree I'm coming back to tomorrow morning. I'm gonna be out here at 5. I'm gonna hang that tree and I'm gonna wait. And so next day I get out there, hang the tree, super easy. I get into the tree, you know. I was a little
like, it's better now.
Right,
like,
it's better now. Yeah.
You did it once.
I did it once.
You know?
I'll be honest, I was a little nervous. I may have blown the chance, because when I walked in there was a doe standing at that tree.
At the tree.
And
of course.
And I was like, I had the light on, and so it looked, and but it had it, I don't think it saw what I was, you know, because it was like blind at that point basically from the light. And so I get up in the tree, and mind you, that's at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And so nothing's coming. And you know how like the temperature always drops like 30 minutes after the sunrise, like it just gets that colder period. So the temperature's getting cold. I'm gonna be honest, I pull out my phone, I'm on TikTok.
Oh gosh.
I know.
Okay, at this moment we are now going to take a break and listen from a word of our sponsors, and we're gonna hear if Cam Cushman actually gets off TikTok and onto a deer.
Silencer Central. All right, did you know you can get a silencer delivered directly to your door? We've talked about it a bunch, but I'm not sure you understand exactly how easy this is. So Silencer Central sends you all the paperwork once you purchase like a Banish 30 like I have. They send you all the paperwork, all the stuff to do your fingerprints. They do it all for you from the comforts of your home. So if you're looking To get into a new silencer, perhaps a Banish 30 from Silencer Central, visit silencercentral.com. And Timney Triggers. Okay, we talk a lot about their new trigger, the CZ Model 457 Rimfire Trigger. That is great. But I want to talk to you a little bit about the triggers that I put in my guns. I put in a Remington 700 trigger in my custom bolt action rifle that I take almost every deer hunt I go on. I've even shot elk with it. The crisp, clean trigger pull is nice, especially for those tense moments in the final seconds. So if you're interested in outfitting your Remington 700 with a new trigger from Timney, visit timneytriggers.com.
All right, we're back with Cam Cushman. He's telling a story. And at this point, he's in a tree on TikTok.
On TikTok. And let me be honest, TikTok is the worst thing in the world. If you haven't downloaded it, don't download it.
Please don't.
My wife downloaded TikTok during the start of COVID, and she's like, you've got to get this. And I was like, I refuse to download that trash. Ooh, somebody lost their fender.
Someone lost a fender.
Somebody lost a fender.
We're on the back trails in Moab, Utah. We're actually headed out to a shooting range right now. So if you're just now tuning in or anything and you're like, why is it so shaky or what's going on? We're actually driving on these Jeep trails. So that's what we're doing.
And my seatbelt has gotten uncomfortably tight around my waist. It just keeps getting tighter and tighter.
Well,
so we've got that going
for us. You're in such a good shape.
So good thing I don't have to go to the bathroom, right?
Yes.
You know. Accident.
That would be great video and a horrible experience for me.
For sure. It would smell pretty bad. TikTok.
Yes.
Don't download it.
Don't download
it. So, because it's like a guilty pleasure. Wow. And like it knows what you like. So it's just like, and so, all right, at the time, I'll tell you the two videos that I remember specifically when the next story unfolds. Yeah. There was a person dressed up as Voldemort from Harry Potter. And my wife is a Harry Potter fan. And so it's this girl in like downtown New York City just like doing it to strangers, like screaming out, you know, like doing the hand sign
doing
and everything.
Whatever.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I send it to my wife and she will text me when I'm in the stand. She's like, get off TikTok or you're not going to see the deer. Legend of a wife.
And
it's so true.
That is smart.
For sure. And so the next video is like Terry Crews with Pennywise from It, you know, like singing a song. And so I send that to her.
What kind of stuff are you into?
I don't know, man. It's some weird stuff, I guess. But I'm looking up during the videos to make sure nothing's coming in, right?
Yeah.
Well, I look up at the end of that, and I see these does coming in. And so I was like, okay.
Yeah, now it's going to happen.
This is it. This is it. I'm going to get a doe.
Yeah.
You know? This is my first deer. And I'm watching them come. They're following this game trail to me. And then, but another game trail cuts away from me, and they follow it. And I was like, no. And so I was like, do I call in does? You know, like I've got a grunt call and I've got this. And mind you, we're like pre-rut still.
Yeah.
And so.
So they're kind of in that seeking phase.
Yeah, for sure. And so I'm looking at them and I was like, you know, this is just awesome that they're not even seeing me. The wind is in my favor, you know? And so I look over past them and there he is. The buck from yesterday, from the day before, is slowly walking their trail. And I was like, oh my gosh. This is it. And so I let off
So your theory of, well, I'll just wait. I just want to shoot a doe.
Yeah.
Has gone completely out the window.
Yeah, it's out the window now. And so now I was like, oh my gosh, my first deer may be a buck. But I'm still in my mind, I was like, but if he doesn't give me the opportunity and I need to take a deer, I'm not going to pass up on one of these, these
and
does.
You don't pass that off.
Right, for sure. And so, you know, like I'll say, like, I know there's a lot of like people out there hunting trophies and stuff, but for me, you know, like I appreciate whatever animal it is. And honestly, I think does may be smarter than bucks a lot of the time.
Some of them are definitely.
Now the old like ghosts of the woods, like the big, big bucks obviously are super smart. But that older doe.
You get a 6 or 7 year old doe out there that just knows. It's tough. We're about to get blinded again.
Yeah, about to get blinded. And this is actually
Shields
where, like,
up.
The big cliffs are.
Oh,
so,
great.
Yeah.
So don't look
so
down.
I've driven this road the other day. So this is, but this is your first
this
time
is
on this
first
road.
Time for me. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So so he's come, he's, you know, following their trail. But mind you, they're coming to the point where I've got the last ditch effort for them to come, for me to somehow get them to me.
Right.
And so I let out this soft little grunt. He's hot on their trail, doesn't care. He looks up briefly. And then looks towards my direction, doesn't see anything, because like you're honestly at that point, like they're not stupid.
No.
If they don't see anything, they're gonna be like, because they go off the two, you know, they need at least 2 cents to move in. And so, nothing. And so he keeps going. And so I was like, let me just let off this tiny little rattle, you know?
Oh,
and I
yeah.
have, I don't have like the horned ones, but I have
you
that little green thing.
The bag?
No, I've got that like little, it's like, it makes
plastic.
The same sound as plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's smaller, so you can like fit in your harness. And so I have that. We're about to die, boys and girls.
Yeah. Good night.
And so, yeah, there's a nice little fall
yeah,
right
there.
That
was a nice little drop. You were real close to it.
And so.
Glad it was on your side.
I rattle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but would it have been better if, like, because think about it, if I flip, I'm the first at the ground, but then we get the throw, and it may be
yeah.
you if we fall. So it's like, who really has the
yeah.
advantage?
That's a bad deal.
So I make off this little rattle, and I kid you not, the does run in.
Really?
Yeah, the leading doe was tiny. I mean, it was probably, you know, a yearling or something
a
like that.
Yep.
Or
something.
And
yeah.
so it had lost the spots, but, you know, really young.
Yep.
She runs in and looks right at me. Leg goes up, and I was like, don't you do it.
Don't do it.
Don't
stop.
You do it. Don't you do it. And the buck charges in after them, and so that little one bolts. And I was
really?
Like, yes. And so, kid you
disaster
not.
Disaster averted.
There's a, man, I almost just went off a cliff right
yeah.
there. There's this bigger doe, and he's kind of hot on her. And so they're sprinting below me in circles, and I'm literally like,
that's so cool.
And so, mind you, I pull back. And I'm like,
so you're at full draw.
I'm at full draw. I'm at like, meh, 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 you know, and nothing.
Trying to get him to stop.
Trying to get him to stop.
Oh.
He doesn't care. And I was like, man, this isn't going to happen. But I see another doe. And I was like, do I take this shot at this doe?
Oh.
And every person.
That's so nerve-wracking.
Yeah, every person at this point would be like, dude, wait for the buck, you know?
Yeah.
And so.
But you had other
right.
goals.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. And so, you know, this, I watched this doe pee behind a tree, or she drops scent or something.
Yeah.
And this buck stops and he's smelling it. And all the does run off. And I was like,
this is it.
I was like, this is it. I only have the buck, but I have a 10-foot window for him to walk out into. And mind you, he's at 41 yards.
Oh,
so
man.
I've ranged all the trees that from the stand
yeah.
all morning to, you know, to be comfortable. And I'm still at, mind you, I'm still at full draw.
Yeah.
And I kid you not, I've probably been at full draw for a minute.
Still
I'm
still shaking.
At some point I put my elbow up against the tree because I needed a relief for a second, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was like, I got to stop him right as he walks out
yeah.
or I don't have a shot. And so, or he just would have been in too thick a brush again.
Yeah.
And so he walks out and
stops.
He stops full upright, looks over to me.
The perfect setup.
Perfect setup. Let the arrow fly. I mean, perfect shot.
Really?
Like, literally exactly where you want it to be. But it don't get a full pass-through for some reason. And so now I'm like, oh, my gosh, I've messed up. I did something wrong.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because it's really frustrating because you prepare all season. And the ideal is to get a pass-through.
Yep.
So you got blood coming out on both
for
sides.
Sure.
And all that good stuff. Sometimes you don't need all that.
Right, no, for sure. And it proved that I didn't, you know. Now we're in danger territory
yep.
right here. And so the arrow stays in him the
yeah.
whole way I watch him. And so he disappears into super thick like brush. And I hear what I think is a crash. And so I'm like freaking out now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even remember who I call. I think I call my wife. And my wife is, she's like, no way. Where are you? Send me a pin. I'm on the way. Mind you, I'm like
serious?
A mile and a half, 2 miles in, you know,
yeah.
in on public. And so she's like, I'm on the way. And I was like, she's like, do you have the deer yet? And I was like, no, I just
shot.
And she's like, then jump down out of your tree stand. Just like, jump.
Just jump
yeah.
and go
and
get it.
I was like, no, I'm afraid I'm going to fall off. And mind you, I backtrack a little bit. I'm shooting in a way that I wasn't comfortable to shoot from the stand because
yeah.
I was set up to shoot more left. And
right.
he was right. So I'm like,
that's
my heels are off the stand because
yeah.
I had to reposition myself and, you know, go back to the fear of this height
like
thing.
The heights.
Yeah. And so I get down and I don't know if this is like the normal thing to do, but, you know, I know everyone, if you think you may not, you give them time,
yeah.
you know? And so, but I didn't want to leave my stand up. And so I took it down
took it
as
down.
I came down, you know? And so
yeah.
I broke up, I threw it on my back and then I went over to where I shot and I'll be honest, I struggled to find blood right away. And then I found the first drop and I was like,
yes, got it.
This, but it was super weak. And then so I followed the trail and there's no bubbles. And so everything I've read that I should be looking for, you know, like, is not there.
You're not seeing it.
And so I was like, oh my gosh, I made a bad shot. And I'm just getting nauseous. I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm asking for forgiveness. I was like, I will never leave these woods until I find this deer. I was like, I'll stay here for my life until I find it, you know?
Oh, that's
and
brutal.
So I'm like, I need to knock another arrow in case I
just
see
in
it,
case he,
you know, to try to, you know, I owe it to him.
Oh, yeah.
And
absolutely.
So I lose the blood completely.
Yeah.
And so I make my way on. He followed a trail. And so I make the way of where the sound is, where I heard that crash. But I'm questioning, did I hear a crash? Or was he just ripping through brush?
Yeah.
And so I'm looking around. I'm kind of in a lower spot, so I can't see. And so I see this massive down log.
Yeah.
And so I stand up on this log, and I'm scanning around. I look over. And I see him on the ground.
Oh, thank
goodness.
And
I was like, there's no way. He didn't go 75
yards.
That's
unbelievable.
And so I walk over to him. And mind you, I still never found my arrow. And I walk over, I find him. And then I look back 10 feet from where he is. And the blood trail was massive. Bubbles everywhere. I mean, it looked like somebody took a 5-gallon bucket and poured it.
It was that initial impact of that arrow.
Yeah, and so what had happened was I hit him, dude, right, a perfect heart shot.
Yeah.
But the arrow, when it hit, it went through and hit his other leg,
the shoulder blade. Yeah.
And so that's why I didn't get a pass through.
Yeah.
And then
the arrow backed out.
Yeah, and I found the arrow. It was right next to a tree. So he had hit a tree. And so literally, he had been filling up with blood. When the arrow fell, all of it just pumped out, you know? And so, I mean, literally, like, he was down. He died with, you know, immediately. It was a great kill. He was done, you know?
That's awesome.
And so at this point, I put my arrow on him, like, to just make sure in case someone else was in the woods, they found it, they didn't even try stealing my deer.
Exactly.
I don't know if people do that, but
I don't think so,
but
I'm sure it's happened.
Yeah, so I put my arrow on him, and then I sprinted. And mind you, it was cold that day. Now it's warmed up. I've got like layers on. I don't have time to get rid of this. I sprint, and my stands are falling off, like the sticks are falling off the stand on my back. And I get out to my car or my truck.
Yeah.
And my wife's pulling in. And she's like,
did you get it?
Did you get him?
That's
Is he down?
It.
And I was like, yes, I found him. And so she walks in with me with the cart.
Yeah.
And she snaps a bunch of the photos.
Those photos are awesome.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're above, like, giving out your social media, but you've got to go check
it
out. It's awesome.
Cameron Cush, too easy.
All right, we're going to take a break real quick. We're going to listen to these sponsors. We're going to get back to the rest of the story.
Brownells, serious about firearms since 1939. Now, that's a slogan, but it's a way of life for the folks over at Brownells. And let me tell you something. They're not only serious about firearms, they're serious about ammunition. They have all the ammunition you want. And you know what? There's actually quite a bit of it in stock right now that you can go check out. If you need 6.5 Grendel, 308, 17 HMR, 22 Mag, whatever you need for your next hunt or your next outing to the range, Brownells has it. Visit brownells.com/ammunition to find out more. And Smith & Wesson. Now, Smith & Wesson has a new tactical shotgun. It's a bullpup design, and it's called the M&P 12. It features two mag tubes, ambi safety selector, removable Picatinny rail, and an interchangeable M&P palm swell grips. Now, the grips feel almost exactly like their M2.0 series of grips. Actually, I think it's pretty much that design. So once you feel the M&P 12 in your hands, you know immediately that it is a Smith & Wesson reliable firearm. So if you're looking to outfit your home with a new home defense tool, the M&P 12 is definitely for you. Visit smith-wesson.com/MP12 to learn more about this fantastic tactical shotgun.
All right, we're here with Cameron Cushman, Cam, as we're going to call him. So you've just shot your first deer.
Yep.
What emotions are you going through?
Man, so honestly, I filmed right after I shot him, and it's so embarrassing. I never could post this video.
Yeah.
I'm like...
You're shaking?
Yeah, I'm shaking. I was like, I just shot my first deer, and it was a buck. You know, I stalked this dude yesterday, and that was even cooler that I, you know, this is
well,
the guy.
Well, you have a little bit of history
with
him.
Yeah, I kind of had this history, and I know it's not a lot. You know, it's not like some of these six-year bucks that you see on YouTube and stuff, but they had history forever, but like, oh my gosh.
But that's big time.
Yeah.
To be able to do that is
first season, and I mean, mind you, I've been going out almost every day before work, after work, like even for 30 minutes, you know, because I was like, I want to put the time in. I want to know these animals.
You want to be dedicated to it.
And so I, you know, when I first walked up to him, it was like this emotional experience. And I'm like, you know, down on my knee, like thanking him that you know, he's going to provide food for me and for my family. And
Because feeding poor kids is not easy.
For sure. I mean, realistically, that's if I wanted to eat nothing but, you know, free range venison, I'd need like 5 or 6 deer, you know, for a year. And so,
what are your future plans? So where do you go from here? Where do you take this journey?
Well, so in Missouri, I still have another antler tag, right? So I have to wait till either rifle or after rifle. So I did buy a rifle tag in case I see another, you know, buck, but I can't. So there's like a week between, you know, basically when I can shoot another buck, because you can't do two before rifle.
Right.
And so I have that, and then I bought one extra when I first started, and everyone's like, why you already have three? You're not even going to shoot one. And everyone told me, they're like, listen, you know how hard it is? I've gone years without getting one. And I was like, that's not going to be me.
Right.
I'm putting in the effort. I'm going to make this happen. And the same thing I did with all my fly fishing adventures. There's only one fish that I never got that I pursued, but I put buddies on it. So I take it as the same kind of like, you know.
It's the same. You get credit for it.
Put the effort in, you know, and I don't just go out and sit in a stand, you know, one day, which I know there's a lot of people that are limited to that, but I'm blessed with a good wife who's like, you better get in the woods.
That, man, every guy wishes they had that.
For sure. Whew. And so, you know, the plan is I want to, you know, I'm going to take a doe, and I don't want to, I at the same time, I don't want to be like greedy and people like, why are you taking so many does? But, you know, I got a big family. I want to eat as healthy food as we can. And and if I can harvest more venison, you know, I'm going to, and as long as every shot is ethical and I appreciate the animal, you know, I'm going to, I hope to take at least, you know, two more deer this season.
That's awesome.
And
we talk a little bit about the nonprofits you're involved in, and I definitely want to get up there because we're kind of starting to wrap up the show because we're almost at the range. But tell people where they can learn more about that and a little bit about what it is.
So the Iron Freedom Foundation, it's the nonprofit I'm on the board of, and so kind of where we separate ourselves from a lot of other nonprofits that take combat vets out on fishing adventures is, you know, we bring these guys out on 3 to 7 day trips, but we give them the gear to keep. So they're able to recreate these experiences on their own. You know, our founder always says, you know, you can teach a guy how to fish, but if you don't give him the tools, then he can't go out and you can't feed him for a lifetime. So we're really trying to help out like the combat vets who are struggling emotionally with, you know, PTSD and all that kind of stuff. And so,
well, just navigating everyday life.
Yeah. And I mean, so, oh, for sure. And the outdoors have a healing power. If you guys aren't in the outdoors, get into the outdoors, whether it's fishing, get into the backcountry and just like breathe the air, you know, like this place smells so good out here. It's loaded with sage and I'm just like, I just want to eat it. I'm laying it, you know?
Makes me think I'm on an antelope hunt.
For sure. Ironfreedom.org and the Iron Freedom Foundation is the Instagram. And then that would be more in line with this podcast.
Yeah.
I help out another nonprofit now called Four Season Fighters, which does the exact same thing, but more on the hunting side. And so a big thing for them is they're more focused on, like, obviously they're helping out the emotional state, but really on people with physical limitations. So Jose, one of the board members, is a triple amputee. And, you know, he's an adaptive athlete. He surfs and stuff like that.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
He even hunts now with a bow, you know, draws back with his teeth, and just all he's got is his left hand, you know. And so they bring these guys out in track chairs, fully outfit them with all they need. And, you know, hunt that we just did, we brought Aaron Boyle out, Army infantry vet, you know, was blown up, lost his right arm, right leg. And so he was, mind you, right eye dominant, right hand shooter. We had to teach him how to shoot left-handed, left eye. And so, and he harvested a mule deer for opening day. You know, we got him a deer. And
that's so cool.
Seeing that, it was his first hunt ever, you know? And so it's like similar to what my experience has been, because outside that deer, the only animal I've ever harvested was a dove, you know? And so it was all new to me. And I'm so grateful for, you know, all of it, obviously.
That's awesome, man. Well, Cameron, we'll definitely be having you on because I want to hear how your development goes as a hunter. But thanks for joining us, man.
For sure. No, I really appreciate it.
All right, Gun Talkers, you guys make sure you keep those muzzles pointed in a safe direction and always be on the hunt.